The College Faculties Committee of the Communist Party of California issued another report to our colleagues. Like the first pamphlet, this report carried no byline. But again, Chevalier insisted that Oppenheimer was among the pamphlet's anonymous authors. The elementary test of a good society is its ability to keep its members alive. It must make it possible for them to feed themselves, and it must protect their persons from violent death. Today, unemployment and war constitute so serious a threat to the well-being and security of the members of our society that many are asking whether that society is capable of meeting its most essential obligations. Communists ask much more of society than this. They ask for all men that opportunity, discipline, and freedom which have characterized the high cultures of the past. But we know that today, with the knowledge and power that are ours, no culture which ignores the elementary needs, no culture based on the denial of opportunity, on indifference to human want, can be either honest or fruitful. As in February, domestic issues are the focus of this report. The plight of the nation's millions of unemployed is examined, and the decision of California and National Democrats to cut the budget for welfare relief is attacked. The cutting of relief and the simultaneous increase in the budget for armaments are connected not only by arithmetic considerations. Roosevelt's abandonment of the program for social reform, the attack, where once there had been support, on the labor movement, and the preparation for war, these are related and parallel developments. From 1933 to 1939, the pamphlet observes, the Roosevelt administration had followed a policy of social reform. But since August 1939, not a single new measure of progressive purpose has been proposed, and the measures of the past have not even been defended against reactionary attack. Where once the Roosevelt administration had voiced its disgust for the antics of the House Un-American Activities Committee under Martin Dies, now it was coddling these reactionaries. Where once it had defended organized labor, civil liberties, and the unemployed, now it was attacking labor leaders like John L. Lewis and pouring money into armaments. Roosevelt himself, a man whom the pamphleteers once thought something of a progressive, had now become a reactionary and even a warmonger. This transformation has happened because of the war in Europe. It is a common thought, and a likely one, that when the war is over, Europe will be socialist and the British Empire gone. We think that Roosevelt is assuming the role of preserving the old order in Europe, and that he plans, if need be, to use the wealth and lives of this country to carry it out. If Oppenheimer had anything to do with this second pamphlet, his rational style had abandoned him. Is it possible that he really thought of Roosevelt as a warmonger? The one reference to the president in Oppenheimer's correspondence during this period suggests that he was disappointed with FDR, but hardly ready to denounce him. If Oppenheimer had something to do with drafting these pamphlets, his words reveal someone primarily worried about the impact on domestic politics of a world teetering on the brink of a great disaster.